بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of Surah Qaf, and we have reached verse 15. قال الله تعالى أفعينا بالخلق الأول بل هم في لبس من خلق جديد. Verse 15. أفعينا بالخلق الأول بل هم في لبس من خلق جديد. Were we then tired with the first creation? Nay, they are in confused doubt about a new creation, meaning the resurrection. This exclamation is an exclamation of denial that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not get tired for creating, or because of creating the first creation, initiating the creation. So, were we then tired in the first place with the first creation, so that we will be tired concerning resurrecting them? So the obvious answer is no. As Allah stated in Surah Al-Ahqaf 46:33, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَلَمْ يَعْيَ بِخَلْقِهِنْ أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَلَمْ يَعْيَ بِخَلْقِهِنْ Do they not see that Allah who created the heavens and the earth and was not wearied by their creation is able to give life to the dead? He was not tired by their creation. So if He, Azza wa Jal, was not tired with the first creation, then resurrecting them is easier than initiating, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear also in Surah Ar-Rum, chapter 30, verse 27. قال الله تعالى وهو الذي يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده وهو أهون عليه وهو أهون عليه وهو الذي and he it is who originates the creation then will repeat it after it has been perished and this is easier for him and this is easier for him. This is an intellectual proof intended to convince those who deny the resurrection. That is because those who disbelieve claim that they will not be resurrected and that there is no resurrection, and they denied that. And they took as a proof, which is a very weak proof, as Allah spoke about them, they said, they projected the following weak argument, saying, مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ in Surah Yasin. مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ Surah Yasin, verse 78. And who will give life to these bones when they have rotted away and became dust? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded in the next verse, same Surah, same chapter, Yasin. قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ Say, He will give life to them who created them for the first time. And He is the all-knower of every creation. Then Allah, after that, proceeded bringing intellectual proofs that Allah is able to bring life to the crumbled bones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further in this verse 15 then added, بَلْ هُمْ فِي لَبْسٍ مِّنْ خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ بَلْ هُمْ فِي لَبْسٍ مِّنْ خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ They are in confused doubt about a new creation, meaning they admit that Allah did not get tired by creating the first creation. But now, they are in doubt, confused doubt about the new creation, the resurrection. So, and this is in a way, it is, how could they admit that concerning the first creation, then they deny the resurrection after death? So therefore they are in a state of confused doubt, as Allah stated, regarding the resurrection. And the one who is able to bring the resurrection, to bring forth the creation, to initiate it, is by all means able to recreate. And this is an intellectual proof. No one can escape it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about his ability to resurrect. In the next verse, he said, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. And indeed we have created man, and we know that, and we know what his own self whispers to him. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. And we are nearer to him than his jugular vein. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ. And indeed we have created man, meaning his first creation. And we brought him to exist with an intellect, with an ability to hear and to see and to think. And also having his own whispers. Meaning we know even also when he whispers, his own whispers. Not only that, without him uttering his whispers, rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what he will whisper to himself for the future, while man himself does not know what he will whisper to himself in the future. Allahu Akbar. And Allah knows what yourself will whisper to you, or you will whisper with yourself tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, in the future, until you die, and you don't know. And if Allah knows what your own whispers, then this entails that the person should observe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be watchful of Allah, and that we should not whisper in that which displeases Allah and in that which he hates. Rather, our whispers with the self should be in that which is pleasing to Allah, because he knows that. So therefore we should be bashful and not dwell in whispers that are not pleasing to Allah the Most High. Then Allah said, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. And we are nearer to him than his jugular vein. This is the jugular vein, and these are two great veins that surround the throat from both sides, and they are the closest to a person's heart, and also closest to one's brain. Now, what is the meaning here, that we are nearer to him than his jugular vein? Is the intended meaning that Allah in himself, Most High and Most Majestic, nearer to him? Or this nearness is the nearness of the angels? the correct opinion that this is the nearness of the angels. The nearness of the angels. And the this is established by the fact that the nearness of Allah is a great and lofty attribute that does not fit to be applicable to every individual. Applicable, to underline, to every individual, to every person. Because if we say that the intended meaning here is the nearness of Allah in Himself, then this would mean Allah would be near to the kafir and to the believer likewise. Why? Because Allah said, and indeed we have created man. Man meaning, you know, man is, could be a believer and an unbeliever. And that we are nearer to him than his jugular vein. So if we say that this verse is comprehensive, and that the nearness here is the nearness of Allah's self, then Allah in himself is near to the kafir. And this is not fitting. Because the kafir is an enemy to Allah. The unbeliever is an enemy to Allah. So the preponderating opinion is that which is chosen by Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, that what is intended here in the nearness is the nearness of the angels. That we are nearer to him by our angels. The closeness, the nearness of the angels. Then, he took as evidence for that is the saying of Allah, إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ. It's in the next verse. The next verse supports this preponderating opinion. إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ. That the two receivers receive. Meaning when, so here, إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ, when the two receivers receive. And this is related to the nearness. Meaning, we are nearer to him in, under this condition, when the two receivers, the two recording angels, receive. So if someone says, how could it be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates the nearness, his nearness, when he says, and we are near, how could he relate it to the angels when he says, and we are nearer? Is there something like this in the texts similar to this? The answer is yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his prophet in Surah Al-Qiyamah, chapter 75, verse 16, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه فإذا قرأناه فاتبع قرآنه. Move not your tongue concerning the Quran or Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to make haste therewith. إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ وَقُرْآنَهُ 17. It is for us to collect it and to give you the ability to recite. Next. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَهُ. See, if here it is for us to collect it and to give you the ability to recite. And when we have recited it to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who recited it to Muhammad? I'm asking you. Who's the one intended here? And when we have recited it to you, Jibril. Alayhi salam. So, Allah attributed the action of Jibril, He attributed to him when He said, it is for us. And we have recited it to you. You understand? He attributed the action of Jibril, alayhi salam, to himself. Why? Because Jibril is Allah's messenger. You understand? Because Jibril is Allah's messenger. You understand? You understand this other example? It's important, really. Naam. How about the rest? MashaAllah. Good. Okay. Tayyib. Similarly, the angels, Allah attributed their nearness to Him. Why? Because they are His. Now, fill the blanks. Because they are His. His what? His. Because they are His. Well, you know the angels. They are His angels. But they are His. Messengers. Exactly. Because they are His messengers. Exactly. As Allah stated in Surah Al-Zukhruf 43:80, أَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّا لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ بَلَا وَرُسُلُنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. Listen. Listen how the Quran, subhanAllah, the Quranic texts explain one another. Or do they think that we hear not their secrets? Look, we hear not their secrets and their private counsel. Yes, we do. And our messengers, the appointed angels in charge of mankind, are by them to record. Are by them to record. You understand how? You see now? You see how the textual proofs of the Quran relate to one another and explain one another? No. So what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah chose is the correct opinion. Now if someone asks the question, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nearer to the believer under all the conditions of the believer? Is Allah nearer to the believer? Near to the believer under all the conditions, under all situations of the believer? The answer is in some situations. The answer is in some situations. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الَّذِي تَدْعُونَهُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمْ مِنْ عُنُقِ رَاحِلَتِهِ. In the hadith which is reported in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he whom you are supplicating, is nearer to every one of you than the neck of his camel. Is nearer to every one of you than the neck of his camel. This is nearness in the situation of supplication. You understand? This is nearness, qurb, in the situation of supplication. Clear? Clear now? This is nearness under the condition of, in the state of supplication. This is in line with the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. And when my slaves ask you concerning me, then answer them, I am indeed near. I respond to the invocations of the supplicant when he calls on me. So this is nearness in the state of dua. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near to the believer in the situation of sujood. In the situation of sujood, prostration. Because of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدْ. In the hadith which is reported in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the nearest a person to his Lord is when he is prostrating himself. This is in Sahih Muslim, Book 4, Hadith 979. So therefore, the believer is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while in the state of worship of Allah, while in the state of dua. As to the general nearness of Allah, then what is intended, as we discussed earlier, according to the preponderating opinion, that means the nearness, what? By his messengers, the angels. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ, when the two receivers receive, the two receivers, the two angels. They are two angels. Allah told us about them that they are, as in verse 17, remember that when the two receivers, the recording angels, receive, each human being after he or she has attained the age of puberty, عن اليمين وعن الشمال قعيد, and seated to the right and to the left. So they are in a close place, closer than the jugular vein. So this means that they are not on the shoulders. So they are in a near place, closer than the jugular vein. Now if someone who is a disbeliever, he says, I check around me, where are these two angels? Where are they sitting? I put my hand to the left, to the right, around my neck. I don't feel anything. We say, this is from the world of the unseen, which is not comprehended by our intellect. And therefore we must believe in it as we see, as if we see it, as if we touched it by our hands, or see it by our eyes, or any of our senses. We must believe in that. Because the saying of Allah, عن اليمين وعن الشمال, seated to the right and to the left, this means that they are there sitting, settled. One of them writing the good deeds, and the other writing the bad deeds. And what is written here, what is written, is subject to blotting and subject to affirmation or confirmation. Why? Because of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ar-Ra'd 13:39, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتْ وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. And Allah blots out what He wills and confirms what He wills, and with Him is the mother of the book, meaning اللوح المحفوظ, meaning the origin of the mother of the book is the اللوح المحفوظ, the preserved tablet, written in it ما يستقر عليه العبد. Listen, written in it the final outcome for each individual from his actions. So the final outcome, which is the permanent, is written. However, that which is subject to blotting and confirming, that is in the hands of the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طرفي النهار وزلفا من الليل إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات. وأقم الصلاة طرفي النهار وزلفا من الليل. In سورة هود verse 114, chapter 11 verse 114, and perform the salah at the two ends of the day and in some hours of the night. Verily the good deeds remove the evil deeds, the small sins. So a good deed removes a bad deed and blots it after it was written. This is in relation to what? This is in relation to what is written by the in the hands of the angels, in the records of the angels. However, with respect to the original book in the preserved tablet, there is written the final outcome as to what is related to the actions of the individual. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those whose final outcome and permanent one will be settlement on faith and affirmation on it in this life and in the hereafter. Then in the next verse, قال الله تعالى ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. Not a word does he or she utter, but there is a watcher by him ready to record it. Anything uttered by a person's tongue, then he has a watcher over him or by him, watching him day and night, inseparable. Atid, present, does not leave him and does not designate someone on his behalf. If no, he is there, watching by him, ready to record, present, always present. Nothing misses him from sayings. And it's general. The apparent of this noble verse, that whatever the saying is, it is written. This is the apparent, because of the statement, min qawlin, from a saying, and this is a general. So the apparent meaning here is that the saying here, whatever it is written, whether it is good or bad, whether it's vain talk or otherwise. But he will be recompensed as to what is good and as to what is bad. And it is not necessary that just by because of the mere writing that the person will be recompensed for that, the mere writing. This is what is apparent from the verse. Although some of the scholars, rahimahumullah, from them there are those who say that that only the bad and good deeds are written. Other than this, from talks, from any talk or other than this, is not written. But the first saying takes precedence because of the generality of the wording. Otherwise, the outcome is the same. And if we go by the first opinion, that the angel who records everything, then the people, the scholars who hold to this opinion say that the recompense is only on the good and the bad. What's good and what's bad. But to say that the meaning is general, because it agrees with the apparent with what is apparent in the verse. And in this, there is evidence that the angels don't leave anything, which also indicates their perfect watch and observance as to what is uttered by the person. And therefore, in this, there is a lesson for us to watch utmostly what is uttered on our tongues. Many are the statements which can lead the person to his own destruction. We know from the hadith of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu concerning the man who said, Wallahi la yaghfiru Allah li fulan. Someone said, Allah will not or would not forgive such and such. Would not forgive such and such. So Allah said, من ذا الذي يتألى علي أن لا أغفر لفلان قد غفرت له وأحبطت عملك. Thereupon Allah said, Allah the Exalted and Glorious said, Who is he who adjures about me that I would not grant pardon to so and so? I have granted pardon to so and so and blotted out your deeds, meaning the one who said so. The one who took an oath that Allah would not grant pardon to him. Allah blotted his deeds. Rendered them in vain. So Abu Huraira commented that this person uttered a word which led to his destruction. We seek refuge in Allah from this. And that's why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam considered that controlling of the tongue is the control of everything. As in the hadith of Mu'adh bin Jabal, which was discussed in the 14 Nawawi hadith. When the Prophet ﷺ said to Mu'adh bin Jabal, أَفَلَا أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى مَلَاكِ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ Should I tell you of that which controls all the matters and the affairs? I said, certainly, O Messenger of Allah. He took hold of his tongue and he said, كف عليك هذا, restrain this, his tongue, don't let it loose. He said, O Messenger of Allah, وَإِنَّا لَمُؤَاخَذُونَ بِمَا نَتَكَلَّمُ بِهِ, will what we say be held against us? So he said to him, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, فَكَلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاد, may your mother be bereaved of you, O Mu'ad. وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ أَوْ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. Is there anything that topples people on their faces, or he said, on their noses, meaning into hellfire, other than the harvests of their tongues? And this hadith is reported by Tirmidhi, and he said, hadithun hasanun sahih, a good and authentic hadith. So the believer must watch for his tongue. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said in the other hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. Whoever believes in Allah and in the last day, let him say that which is good or keep silent. And therefore we know that silence is more meritorious than talking. because in talking, the person does not know, is it good or is it evil? And something else here, if the person utters a word and it goes from his mouth, then it is like a bullet which he shoots. He cannot prevent it once it is shot, when it goes out from the rifle. Similarly, the word. So the sound person will hold his tongue and will not say except that which is good. And the good is either in what is spoken or in something other than that. Meaning, it is possible that the word or the words spoken not good in itself, but its good is in terms of its effect. So for example, a person may say certain vain talk, neither commanding what is right nor forbidding what is wrong, and not being sinful. However, he speaks only in order, like being in a circle amongst people, and no one is saying something, and people sitting there kind of gloomy and stressed. So here comes a person who says something in order to open up. He says something, neither commanding what is good nor forbidding what is wrong, but he says something which opens the chest of the people, and so they can exchange some good words between them, and it becomes beneficial. So therefore, these words that he spoke is good, but is good for others, to others. And it still falls under the general wording of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, let him who believes in Allah and the last day either speak good or keep silent. It falls under that. So therefore, the good is either in what is spoken or in something external to it, in terms of its effect. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll stop here. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a benefit for myself and for all of you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make of the Quran a proof for us and not against us. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْمُجِيبُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ